Welcome to Catalytic Leadership, the podcast designed to help leaders intentionally grow and thrive. Here is your host, author, and leadership and executive coach, Dr. William Attaway.
I am so excited today to have Jonathan Milligan on the podcast. Jonathan is an author, a blogger, a speaker, and an online business coach. He has spent the last decade guiding and directing creative professionals on how to pursue meaningful work. Since 2009, Jonathan has run his own portable lifestyle business online. And today, he teaches others how to build a business with their passion, their story, or their message. The author of several books, including the recently released Launch Your Platform. He recently released Discover Your Message before that, and Your Message Matters before that. And we are so excited that he is here today. Jonathan, thank you for being on the show.
No, thanks for having me, William. I am honored to be here with you, my friend. We've known each other for a few years now.
We have, and I want to start with that because you have been my coach now for about 2.5 years and have added so much value to what I do and in helping me to get my message out. And I'm so grateful to you for that and that you would be willing to share your time today.
I appreciate that, and I'm happy to be here.
I would love for you to share a little bit of your story with our listeners, Jonathan, particularly how you started, your journey, your development as a leader. I gave a nutshell there. I'd love for you to expand on that just a little bit.
So coming out of college, I was looking for like, what is it that I'm going to do with my life and a career like most do? And I wanted to do something, but I just didn't know what it was. And I remember wrestling with like, should I be a coach, meaning like in sports, and be a teacher? That's what both of my parents were. They were in the education space. Maybe that's what I should do. But then I always had this creative drive. And very young, I was getting into reading lots of books. And this was beyond in school. And most kids in college don't want to read books on top of what they have to do for their schoolwork. And yet I found myself grabbing books off the shelf and reading books and just having that fascination. And inwardly, there was this like, maybe I'll end up writing a book one day. I don't know. I don't know if I'm a writer, if I'm not. And so just wrestling with what are my gifts? Where does my potential lie? What is my uniqueness? I don't know. And I knew I wanted to influence others in some way. And I wanted to make meaningful impact, but I didn't know what that was. And so I just decided after I graduated from college that my journey began as a high school teacher and basketball coach. But after a couple of years, I just felt like I wanted to do something outside of just the four walls of that classroom. And I also wanted to have more creative freedom. And that's all I could kind of describe it as. And I didn't know what that was. So I had to go on the journey, and I talk about this a lot in the beginning of my book, but basically to make a long story really short, after I stopped my teaching job and I took a call center job at night because I wanted to do something entrepreneurial during the day, and after about 9 months, I had taken zero action. And I was so frustrated with myself because I had my days free. I had taking the night job to just replace the teaching income, thinking, well, that'll let me do whatever I want during the day. I can still pay the bills. I was married at the time and we had our daughter, but then my son was on his way next. And so there was just this tension between, am I selfish pursuing something that I'm passionate about? Or is this the calling that I need to walk towards? And maybe this journey leads somewhere. I don't know where that is. But it was difficult, William, because my wife was still teaching. So I married a teacher. And our daughter was in daycare. They would get home at 3 o'clock, 3:30-ish. I would spend about an hour with them. And I had to head out the door at 4:30 to be at my night job at 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Well, there was this one moment that was pivotal in my journey. And I remember having a conversation with a coworker after the night shift. It was 10:30 at night. We're in this parking lot, getting ready to head home. He knew that I wanted to do something entrepreneurial. And I just kind of blurted out the words, I'm just ready to go fail at something. And it was in that moment that I just realized what I verbalized. And it was almost if at that moment, the pain of not going after my dreams was greater than actually going and failing at something. And it didn't turn things around overnight, but it was the beginning of a process of me leaning into my own self-leadership to decide to step up and take some actions, even if I felt like I wasn't ready. And that began the journey to where I am today with a few more details filled in.
You know, I love that. You are the hardest person that you will ever have to lead. And so am I. And so is everyone listening. And I love that moment of awareness, that catalytic moment when you realized, wow, nothing's going to change until something changes. I think every one of us has to come to that point in our journey. And so now, these few years later, here you are, an author, a speaker, a coach, a business owner. Could you have seen that back then? Like if you were able to go back and talk to yourself and say, hey, this is what's ahead, you think you would have believed it?
I think there was the dream that was in there, but how to get there was, yeah. I had no idea. You know, it's like Nehemiah in captivity, where he just, like, he had a dream, but it was so far from being able to go and build the walls of Jerusalem for his people or help that process, and didn't know what to do with this dream that was in his heart. And I think that's where I was, but I still had some growing to do, had lessons to learn along the way, but it got me to where I want to be today. So I'm thankful for where I am today.
You know, reading Your Message Matters, I was struck by how much of it is just born out of your own experience. You know, you talked about coming to that pivotal moment, that catalytic moment. How did you take the first step? What was the first thing you did when you realized something has to change?
I think the first step for me was to take an action, whether it was the right one or not, because I just had to learn to get it directionally right, and it would kind of unfold. So sometimes in our discovery of trying to figure out what our unique strengths are, we have to kind of discover what's not. And that's not the fun part.
That's good.
And so the first thing I did was I put a down payment on a property to fix it up. I found a property to fix up, and spent my days running to Home Depot way too many times to fix up this property. And I did end up selling it about 6 months later and made a $12,000 profit. But what I learned out of that was I didn't want to be in the real estate business. Mm-hmm. Even though I was successful, like, there was no desire to go do that again. It just wasn't in my natural talents and abilities. But William, this is a cool part. Right about that time, an opportunity came up where I could join a new executive search startup. And it was only one guy who was the founder, and he was giving me the opportunity to join, but he could not provide a salary, but he provided an amazing commission rate for any placements I made. And I said, well, I've got $12,000 from this successful real estate sale at the time, because my wife was working. I said, this would give me about 90 days. Do you think I could make my first deal in 90 days? And he said, absolutely. Well, luckily, I was able to get something in the first 30 days, and I ended up staying in that position for 7 years. And what was so interesting about that was that I wasn't the entrepreneur, but I was playing the role of an entrepreneur because I was on 100% commission. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, we went from 2 people to 15 people in about 2 years. And even though the organization was a very flat, it was basically the owner and then all of us recruiters, I started to see where my influence was making an impact on the other people that were there. And I think that's an important leadership lesson, that you don't have to have a title to create leadership or influence. So that was a very important lesson of learning how to be an entrepreneur inside of a startup organization.
Mm. That's good. You know, you talk about finding your purpose as in through your journey. And like you say, you have to try the things sometimes that don't work. a process of elimination. What is the difference between finding your purpose and uncovering it?
So I think what, at least this is where I was in the beginning, is I thought, well, I'm going to find my calling in a title, a company, a thing, and that was what I was supposed to do the rest of my life. And I would look around other people who seemed to like know their calling early on and be like, what's wrong with me? Like, I can't figure out how to find it. I'm in the search for it. But then that's when I realized, wait a minute, it's not in a title. It's not in a thing. In fact, you know, to put your identity into something that can change is not very smart at all, because I think that's where a lot of people go wrong in their careers, is that they place their identity in their title, in their company that they worked for, and then when it changed, they lost their identity along the way. Well, the only way to really get through that is to put your hope in something that's changeless. And for me, as a believer, there's only two things. One, that's put my identity in God, because he doesn't change. And second of all, if I believe that he created me with unique gifts, talents, and abilities. And we're all unique in that way. And so part of uncovering that purpose is to figure out what's changeless about me. Mm-hmm. And once I uncover what that is, the truth is you could throw me into any environment and I'm probably going to gravitate towards my natural strengths. Whether I'm in nonprofit, business, teacher, a pastor, it doesn't matter, because once I get in there, I'm going to start gravitating towards my natural, unique point of views, perspectives, unique strengths and abilities. And I think what happens oftentimes is we don't have the self-leadership to spend the time looking inward to find out what that is. Instead, we often look at other leaders and we try to emulate them. And we think, if I can just be them, I'll be more charismatic. I'll be more funny. I'll be a better speaker. I'll be a better leader if I just emulate what I have seen modeled for me. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, we don't need a bad version of somebody else. We need you to be you and lean into your unique strengths. And when you lean into those, it's a lot more comfortable. It feels right. And you can just have the comfort in knowing I can just be me and I can still influence and make an impact on others.
I love that. You know, once you uncover that purpose, right? Once you've discovered this, then what? I mean, then it's about defining what it is you want to say, right? It's about defining your message. How do you do that? Because for so many people, I think that's a struggle point. They're like, okay, I think I'm here to do this. You know, like you said, I'm created on purpose for a purpose. I think I know that, but what do I say? What's my message to use?
Yeah. Yeah. This is where it can be difficult, because I think another kind of pressure point is this idea of passion that you got to find, you know, what is that life's passion? And I struggled with this early on, because my original college degree that I graduated with was pastoral theology. And I wrestled with whether to go into church ministry or not. And my wife, who has so much wisdom, and when I was wrestling with that, should I take this teaching job or should I continue to try to see if I want to be a pastor? I don't know. Don't know what to do. She whispered to me that, hey, listen, I could see you going in and out of ministry, and there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to follow this predetermined path or only choose one thing.
Yes.
And so that began to help me to understand that, wait a minute, like, it's not just about finding that one passion, but what do I feel passionate about for the next 2 to 5 years? Mm-hmm. That's a problem I can go out there and solve. Mm-hmm. Knowing that in the future, my passions may change. And one of the things I talk about in both Your Message Matters and Discover Your Message is that our passions change, but our purpose remains. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is what we just talked about. What's changeless about you, your unique gifts, that doesn't change. But the problem you're solving right now may change in 5 years, and that's okay. It has for me. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the important piece. It really comes down to what I call the Ignite Your Message framework, which is the three P's: purpose, which we've already been talking about, uncovering your natural gifts and abilities. And then it's people. So who do you want to help? You can't help everyone, then your message is watered down. But pick a lane that you want to help people with. And then passion is really, what problem do you want to solve for the next 2 to 5 years? That relieves us of the pressure. It allows us just to get started, knowing that it may change in the future, and that's okay.
I love the permission that you just gave everybody listening for the next 2 to 5 years. Not from now till forever, right? Not from now till Jesus comes. Like the next 2 to 5 years. Like, we're just going to focus on this period. I think there's a very real perception among so many people, myself included, early on in my journey, that, well, if you're going to do X, then you have to do X for the next 40, 50 years. This is what the journey is going to be. But the idea that you can focus on this area for 2 to 5 years and then focus on something else, your passion can change, can shift. You, as you mature, as you grow, shouldn't that be the case that you begin to develop? I think growth means change.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. And like, just my journey on the author, speaker, coach journey, I started as a CPA career coach because my experience was in accounting with executive search. Mm-hmm. And so I started there. But within about 2.5 years, I realized I'm more passionate about starting to teach people about blogging, because in 2009, 2011, in that area, it was like something a lot of people wanted to know about. And so I started doing that. And then I started evolving from there, because podcasting started to really blossom. There started to be, you know, a lot more. YouTube was a little bit more friendly. Live streaming was coming on board. All these ways we could communicate our message. And that's when in 2020, I kind of did even another shift to market your message, which is helping people, whether you're a writer, speaker, coach, teacher, helping you learn to use the tools that are available to us to make influence and impact.
Hmm. You know, marketing is a little scary for a lot of people. I get the message part. I'm all about creating content. I'm all about sharing what's inside of me. But marketing that message, that's intimidating. You talk about this in a little different way. And I love the hourglass funnel that you taught me. I'd love for you to share just a little bit about that.
So when I was very early on in the online space trying to figure it out, because like I said, I knew nothing about this space. I was a teacher and then I was an executive recruiter. And I knew nothing about marketing. I didn't have a background in marketing. So I did what only I made sense to me at the time. And that was to study thought leaders to see, what are they doing? Where are they spending their time? And some of it was conversations at conferences, mixing with them, finding out, asking good questions, reading their books, watching and see what they do. And what I realized is that most of them spent 95% of their time in four key areas. Hmm. And I kind of labeled them with the letter C to make it easy to remember, which is create, compile, connect, and capture. Now, the hourglass is just a helpful visual. We think of an old hourglass where you got the grains of sand, and picture like the hourglass is actually open at the top. Hmm. So at the very top is the connect. Hmm. And the connect is, what are you doing to create awareness so people can connect with your message? You have to do something,
yeah.
You know, podcast, a blog, a YouTube channel. There's all kinds of avenues. A book is a great awareness piece. You need to do something to create that awareness. But once they come into your world, that top half of the hourglass funnel is the create habit. Mm-hmm. And that part is connected to, you know, blog posts, podcasting as well, because they kind of go together. But we don't just create the free content for the sake of creating free content. We are moving people through a journey with us. And so the very skinny part of that hourglass is what I call the capture habit. And for us who are online influencers, that's getting people on an email list. Mm-hmm. that's still the best way to build a relationship with anyone. You don't want to rely on social media. We all know accounts can be banned and things can be turned off, and you don't want to build an empire on rented land. Mm. You want to have something you own. I had a mentor early on who said, Jonathan, there's only two things you can take with you to the grave. It's your reputation, how you treat people, and your email list. That's it.
Nice.
Your reputation and your email list. Like somebody, you know, a host can take down my website, Facebook can get rid of me, and I can still communicate with my community by email. That's something I own. All right. And then the last one, the very bottom of it. So again, we have connect, capture, or create, capture, and then we have compile. Now, compile is where you package your knowledge, your experience into books, into courses, into memberships, events, speaking. And that's where you make the income is a lot of time is off of the email list of people who are now following you. And once I realized that, I started putting all my energy into those four things. And I evaluated everything I did to, does this connect back to connect where it's creating awareness? Is something I'm working on creating something new that someone can find me? Am I doing anything to build my email list? And what am I working on that can actually earn some money for this business? Mm. So that's the short run through of the hourglass funnel.
You know, you have the heart of a teacher, Jonathan. And I've thought this since the first time I read maybe your very first book, Blogging Your Passion. You know, you make concepts that can seem challenging or intimidating accessible. And you do that in such a way that is so powerful and so compelling. And I think everybody listening can say, oh, that makes sense. I don't know that I've ever heard marketing described in quite that way. But that's something that every one of us can take. We can draw this out and we can say, okay, now how can I begin to implement this today? How can I begin to execute on these four C's? That's so helpful.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And honestly, it came from the journey of me asking other people what my unique strengths were.
Yeah.
And there was a particular mastermind, talk about another catalytic leadership moment. I was in a mastermind of just peers. They were speakers, they were bloggers, they were podcasters. And we would meet up every couple of months in person. And we met up in Dallas, Texas, I believe. And it was 2 days in a conference room, just pouring into each other, helping each other. And before we all left the second day, one of the people in the room said, let's go around the room and say, what do we find unique? And, you know, what is their gifting of each person? And so, man, it was fun just like seeing everybody in the hot seat in a good way, hear all these wonderful things that maybe they didn't know the kind of impact they had and what their abilities were. And then it was my turn to sit in the seat. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to learn. Like, what is helpful? What do I do that people really appreciate? Like, what's my gift? And they you could see them all staring at me. And I'm like, okay, somebody say something.
Right.
Right. And then one of them goes, snap their fingers and goes, I got it. You're Mr. Practical. And then everybody in the room was like, yep, that's it. That is it. That is exactly it. And I remember walking away that day, William, going, practical equals boring. Like, I was hoping charismatic, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of different things, but practical. Well, after I sat with that for a little bit,
yeah,
I realized how right they were and how oftentimes I overlooked and thought everybody does this, right? Everybody like reads a bunch of stuff, learns everything you can learn about a topic, and then breaks it down to where it's bite-sized and understandable. Like, everybody does that, right? And then the more I looked around, I was like, wait a minute. No, that's not true. And that was an important moment in my journey for me to just lean into that, because what my friend Brian Dixon says, what's ordinary for you is magic to others. And so we discount our own gifts because we think other people can do them too.
So good. You know, your business needs you to lead at a different level today than it did 5 years ago. And 5 years from now, it's going to need you to lead at yet another level. How do you stay on top of your game, Jonathan? How did you level up with the leadership skills that you and your team are going to need you to have 2, 3, 5 years from now?
It's definitely, you've got to continue to develop yourself. If I had said, well, I think I got this thing, I'm just going to do the blogging thing, I would have missed out on so much. I would have missed out on the years I've done my own podcast. I would have missed out all the amazing relationships I had on podcasts. And so we have to constantly be learning and growing. And you're right, leadership changes. I think of a great book I read recently. I think it was last year at some point. I think it was Tim Elmore's book on paradoxes of leadership.
Yeah,
great. And it was just how different leadership is today than it was. But yet there's principles that are always true. Mm-hmm. And we need to know those things. We need to learn those things. There's a Major League Baseball pitcher that goes to my church. He's no longer in the major leagues, but he actually pitched in the World Series a couple of times, won 2 World Series as a pitcher.
Wow.
In the 90s. And he stayed on after he retired as a pitching coach for the Major League Baseball. And today he actually is the pitching coach at just our local high school academy that we have. And like, what a privilege they have to have him. And I was having a conversation with him, and he was talking about just how different this generation is today and how you have to approach influencing them and building the relationship with them than it was when he was a pitching coach in even the early 2000s. And I think leadership is evolving. There are certain principles that will never change, but we can't take the 1950s style and just think that that's going to work for us.
That's so good. You know, a lot of people listening might look at you and say, wow, I mean, multi best-selling author, business leader, coach, speaker. I mean, your journey's just been up and to the right, hasn't it? I mean, from that moment, stepping outside the call center, it's just been up and to the right. Like, there've been no challenges. I deal with.
Yeah, it was all easy. Yeah. No, it wasn't.
What would you say to that? Like, if somebody says this to you, like, it's just been easy for you, hadn't it? Would you beg to differ?
I tell people that if I would have known how difficult it was in the beginning, I probably would not have started. Because it's almost like our innocence. Mm. Is important, because you don't need to know all that. You're going to grow. And I think part of it too is, as you grow in your own self-leadership and as you grow in leading others, that there's this next level that you're prepared, that you are preparing for, to tackle those things. And if you knew you had to tackle those things at the very beginning, it'd scare you to death. Yeah. But you're growing along the way, and you're building that muscle to be able to handle those things. Mm. I heard somebody say, each level, new devil. Yeah. And it's that concept too of, like, you know what? You reach a level, and then there's another challenge at that next level. And there's always going to be obstacles. But I think what's important, and I was actually just having this conversation today, I do a weekly mindset call with people in my program. And today we were talking about, you know, how important hope is. And I was talking about a book called The Psychology of Hope. And in it, I kind of, you know, I did my thing where I kind of broke it down into 3 words that I got out of the book. And it was talking about the importance of having a project, having something meaningful to work towards, right? Vision, goal.
Yeah.
But then you needed, number 2, power. And that's the agency piece, mm-hmm. of, like, believing that you have the ability to do it. Yeah. Even if you sometimes don't, you have the ability to do it. And then the 3rd part, which I loved in the book, was called pathways. Mm. There's pathways.
Love that.
And what happens a lot of times is we get married to the vision and the strategy, and we become frustrated and want to give up, right? But we want to be committed to the vision. But we're flexible on the approach, on the strategy, on the way to get there. And if you lived in Atlanta and you want to take your family to Disney World and you got to Jacksonville, where I live, a couple hours into it, and it had a roadblock, you wouldn't look at the kids in the back seat and say, hey, we're just going to have to go back to Atlanta, guys. This isn't going to work. You'd find another way. And that's what leaders do. Leaders say, What does this make possible? Mm-hmm. Leaders say everything's figure outable. They yeah. stay flexible. And that encourages the people under them. It gives them a growth mindset instead of a fixed mindset. And so those are the challenges I think that I've had in my journey, lessons I've had to learn that have helped me along the way. Mm.
So good. What do you want your legacy to be?
Man, that's a deep question. It's interesting because I was every year at the end of every year, I take a couple of days just to kind of evaluate where things are. And most of the time it's like, how did we do last year? What are we going to work on this year? For some reason, the idea of legacy came about. Even though, you know, right now I'm 48 and I hope to have many more years, don't plan to retire. I was just thinking about that. Like there are very few things that leave a legacy. And I still have it on my whiteboard over here. One of them I wrote was writing books. Mm-hmm. Books can leave a legacy mm-hmm. because there's many books that I've been so impacted by from authors who are no longer with us. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know them when they were alive, but they've impacted me greatly. And so I think that leaves a legacy. Mm-hmm. The other thing I wrote down was, you know, starting a church can be a legacy. Because you're starting something goes way beyond you. If you're part of a church plant, leaving an inheritance to your kids is legacy building. Creating some type of nonprofit or trust that can continue on after you is legacy building. And just investing in others is legacy building because you're equipping others who then make impact. And I remember this was a couple years ago when I was doing we've all probably heard of that exercise, which is about asking why like 7 times until you get down to the root of the why.
Yeah.
And I was doing that with myself. And that's kind of legacy building if you really want to push that down. Mm-hmm. And I got all the way down to, I want to influence the influencer.
Mm.
I want to influence the influencer. Mm. And I can only reach so many people.
Yeah.
But if my life can be built in helping a couple thousand other people go out and influence or have permission to go out and influence and make such a wider impact, I don't even need the accolades. It's just the reward of investing my life into people who went on to influence others. Mm. And I think that's what really gets me excited is about just the opportunity to influence influencers.
That's really good. You mentioned books that have made a difference in your journey. I'm curious, is there a book that just is outsized in its impact on you that you would recommend to every leader listening that they put on their to-read list?
It's always hard to pick one, but if I had to pick one, it's The Dream Giver, Bruce mm-hmm. Wilkinson. Good. That book is so powerful.
Yeah.
It's underrated. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know about the book. Yeah, I know it's been published for quite a few years now, and he's no longer with us. But man, that book continues to make an impact. I bought it for both of my kids. They both loved it. Mm. And it's, to me, it's like Pilgrim's Progress for today, mm-hmm. because it uses a story of a character called Ordinary, who had this big dream that came up in his heart. He was doing his daily routine. It's funny, it has humor in it. It said he would sit down and stare at the mesmerizing box every night for hours. We know that as TV. And one day he had this dream in his heart, but he didn't know what to do with it. And he lived in the land of familiar. He went to his ordinary job or his usual job. And without giving away the story, it's about his journey to going after his big dream. And then in the back of the book has all these coaching questions and things like that. And so one of the things I'm working on secretly, I've been doing it for a couple of years, is writing a business fiction book that teaches what I have in Discover Your Message, mm-hmm. using the example of a story and a character who goes on a journey to discover what his unique gifts are. And hopefully maybe that'll come out sometime soon. I'm excited about that. But yeah, that would be the book for me, you know, also the Bible, but that's, you know, for Christians, that's pretty obvious, but you know, for me, for books, Dreamgiver is a must read.
So good. You know, often people are going to walk away from an episode like this with one big idea, Jonathan. If you could define what you want people to walk away with, what their one big idea is, what would you want that to be?
That there's something unique about you that all of us need, and that your message matters, and there are people waiting for your help. But you have to have the courage to step in and steward those gifts. That would be the message.
So powerful and so needed, I believe, in our world today. Jonathan, this has been a gift. Thank you for your time, for the incredible generosity that you have displayed today in sharing what you've learned so far on your journey. I know people are going to want to stay connected with you and continue to learn from you. What's the best way for them to do that?
Absolutely. So marketyourmessage.com is the main site. Also, we do have a free book for anybody who would like one, for the original book, Your Message Matters, which is kind of the overarching book to get started with. And you can actually get a free copy going to yourmessagemattersbook.com. And we can ship you out a free copy. We just asked to pay $4.95 for the shipping. And we can get you a book out.
And I'll tell you, as one who's read it multiple times, I highly recommend it. If you don't have a copy of this, head over to that site right now, get your copy, and dive in. Jonathan, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Catalytic Leadership with Dr. William Attaway. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss the next episode. Want more? Go to catalyticleadership.net.